Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is sponsored by Factor. Get Factor and enjoy eating well with fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered straight to your door. Ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/filmsack50 and use the code filmsack50 to get 50% off. Welcome to a roundtable episode of Film Sack. That's right, where we talk about a big topic around movies of some sort or another, and we try to see if we can suss out the complexities that are presented before us. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm here with Brian, and Randy.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh, I'm Brian.
Hi.
I'm also Brian.
You're also Brian. Okay. There are many Brians. Yeah. These ones are ours. anyway, we like to do these when there's some travel going on, because we want to make sure you guys have content those weekends, and that's what's happening this weekend. The two Bryans, in fact, will be hanging out with each other, which all of you
It'll
should
be weird. About. Both Bryans in the same place at the same time. Yes. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
I can't explain
it's, it. It's finally lining up.
Don't touch each other. You'll be like Ron Silver and turn
just remember, don't let the cops see you hanging out.
That's a good point.
It's like Time Cop.
Not again, right?
Never again. Anyway, it's good to do these once in a while, though. These discussion topics are pretty great. Dunaway had a pretty good one, I thought, about the review culture we live in now. And it's a lot different than it used to be. There used to be a time where, you know, if The Godfather Part 2 came out, you would find out how people felt about it by grabbing your local newspaper and flipping to whoever your local newspaper movie reviewer guy was.
Right.
And
movie critic.
Might be. Yep. Yeah. Or you'd flip on the TV and watch Ebert and all that.
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert. Yeah, that was my thing, was sneak previews. And then I think it was called At the Movies.
At the Movies. We all had that growing up, I believe.
Yep. And they were fine. They were a fine way to do that, but you were getting one opinion. And, well, in some ways I like it because it's a simpler time. These days, everybody's got an opinion, including us.
Yes. You almost say everybody's a critic. Yeah.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Yeah. And now we have things like Metacritic. We have Film Score. We have most rotten prominently maters. Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. We're surrounded by this kind of thing. And then we go to social media and we all get to tell each other what we think about everything. So it's just a different time where maybe sussing through that is a little more difficult than it used to be. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This isn't so much about, times have changed. What do we do to navigate it? It's more like, what do these things matter? Like, what ones do you take heart? Yeah. Are there sources that any of the four of us go, oh, it's a must. I have to go there before I'll even touch a film. Or are we more open-minded depending on topic or subject matter or the actor who's in it and who cares what a critic says?
I think it really depends on a lot of that stuff depends on you, the person, and you, what your personal like is. Regardless of any reviews, I will go and see any Marvel film that comes out. I will see any James Bond film that comes out. I'll see
reviews not required.
Star Wars, exactly. Reviews not required. It doesn't matter. It could get a zero on any of these services, and I'll still be like, well, I've got to go see it. It's a Marvel movie.
But you have there's a limit to that, right? Let's say it's something that's not directly in your wheelhouse. I mean, obviously, so we'll stick with the Marvel example because you are the biggest Marvel fan here by far, and I get that. Like, you would not want to miss one. You're just like you wouldn't want if you were nuts about the comics. you'll read the bad ones with the good ones,
or the bad issues and the good issues. Right. I'll alongside my Superior Spider-Man, I also have One More Day.
Right.
Right. But so is it the value
the Clone
of
Saga?
Right.
Is it the value of the sunk cost kind of thing, where it's like, well, I don't want to miss out on the one piece of valuable information that may include,
right?
Like,
that's
you go see Ant-Man.
Like, yeah, I think that's it. It's like a completion thing, but it's also like, oh yeah, I know that the next thing will reference stuff in this probably, and there will be connections that become apparent later on in the series and that sort of thing. I want to see, you know, even if the story's bad, I want to see their treatment of certain characters. Like, all right, how are they going to do MODOK? Speaking of your Ant-Man example, how are they going to do the High Evolutionary in Guardians 3, stuff like that? So those movies, I think for us, and it's kind of like music. I'll buy any album that comes out by Crowded House. I don't have to stream it and listen to it. I know that it's one I'm going to personally want to own in my collection. Same with Squeeze. But there are other albums. It's like, oh yeah, new album by Suede. I'll stream it. I'll listen to it. And if I really like it, then I'll buy it.
I feel like you're kind of dancing around these stages of interest.
Sure.
And so like, I want to lay them out if I can.
Please do.
I feel like there are four stages of interest. And they come along as information that you are given. And I think this applies to music, but I'm not sure. So with movies, you have the initial stage where you find out the movie exists. And for a lot of people, that's all it takes. You find out this movie exists. It was made by Steven Spielberg. It stars Tom Hanks. And you're done. You're good. You're good to go. Then there's the stage where you find out all of the context of the movie before you see it. So what's this movie that by Spielberg and Hanks about, and what did they make it in response to, and all that stuff? It's like the trailer stage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think some people, they get to there and then they go see the movie. And then there's what do people think of the movie, the opinion stage. And that's where we're talking today. We're talking about when critics see a movie, or just your buddy sees a movie and tells you about it. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the fourth stage is when somehow you get through all of those and you still haven't gotten interest, but then the movie gets nominated for Oscars and you're like, oh, okay, there's fourth stage is the awards stage, or the
critical acclaim. Like, yeah, these things are getting a lot of buzz, not just because people, you know, have seen it, but because critics are saying, oh, this is a must. You have to see this
one. Let's say you were a big vampire fan and this new movie just now hitting called The Last Voyage of the Demeter. Or Demeter, however you say it, is not doing well. 46%, but audience score is decent. But if you're a giant vampire dude who just wants to see all vampire genre stuff. I mean,
this is based on one chapter of Bram Stoker's Dracula novel. Yeah, one chapter.
Right. It's the apparently the boat chapter. It's where we all
the boat chapter.
Boat.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
It's got a cast I like. It's got all kinds of possibilities. Got our David Desmal chain in there, like that guy.
Yeah.
But it's one of those situations where if I am crazy about vampire lore and genre, I'm going regardless. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the score says. Also, the audience score helps. And that's a whole other aspect of this we haven't really mentioned yet. Sometimes the critics are at odds. Sometimes they're in perfect harmony. It's like the new Turtles movie is like across the board. Audience and critic scores are like just through the roof. But oftentimes it's like 46%. From reviewers, 72% from audience. Does that sway any of you when you see, you know, an audience enjoying a thing, even though you may not agree with how, you know, audiences it's, score things?
It's
sometimes
usually the other way. Like, I tend to ignore review what could be potentially review bombing. You know, if I see a sharp difference and it's critics loved it, audience score is super low, I think, oh, maybe there's a controversial element in here, or it's just getting review bombed because people are tired of this kind of movie or tired of this actor or actress or whatever. Mm. And so you've just kind of, I think I tend to use it more as a guide unless I'm already thinking I don't want to see something. And then I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that cements it. Reviews
you need
are in the toilet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Tina says, do you want to watch this new thing with me? I'm like, oh, let me see what the Rotten Tomatoes score. No, I don't want to see it. When really I didn't want to see it in the first place.
Yeah, right.
I am like, I completely ignore every bad score on them. I don't even look at them. I'm like, if I see a bad score, I'm like, I don't even care. But if you can convince me to go see something if I see it's 90%, either side, whether it's critics or the audience, if it's above 90% and I wasn't really thinking about seeing it, I might would go see it because there may be something there. Mm. But if it's reviewed poorly, I totally ignore it. I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. I'll make that decision. You can't tell me what not. You can't tell me what I can like. It's kind of, yeah, I guess where I'm
I like
going.
That. I think that's a, right. I think that's a healthy way to go into it. I mean, is there, there's nothing that'll prevent, if it's something that you're interested in, there's nothing that you'll see beforehand that'll prevent you from wanting to see it.
There's okay. there's absolutely well, the, nothing.
The power of those stages of interest really affects different people differently. You know, so like for the four of us who love movies and love seeing movies, right? We get through all four stages of interest all the time. It's right. all the time where I say, hey, there's a new Mike Flanagan show coming out. And Scott is all in on the first stage of interest, right? And then, you know, where you have those of us who, like I say, watch a lot of movies, where, you know, we might be like, oh, I don't know about that exactly, just based on the fact that it's a Mike Flanagan thing. But then you see a trailer and you're like, okay, I'm in, I'm totally in. Yeah. And then there's more movies, a lot more movies for us where you just don't hear about it. You just don't know anything. And suddenly somebody tells you, hey, we're going to see this new movie that's opening tomorrow. And you're like, oh, okay, I will look at the reviews. You're on the third stage of interest, you know? And like, we all have this experience every year where the Oscar nominations come out and we suddenly learn about a bunch of movies.
Yeah. We're like, oh, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah. And then you have, you know, whether or not you get interested in it at that stage. And along the way, it's so interesting how we allow these random people who have made a career of telling us whether or not something is good to get in the mix, you know, I feel like we really did kind of trust Siskel and Ebert. And
And I think especially Randy. I mean, I don't know if you know this about Randy, but Randy really loves Siskel and Ebert. Am I wrong, Randy? Because I mean, I think that when I think about,
do you know this? How do you know this? It seems like a weird thing.
Just from listening to Randy over the years, I think what's the word they use now in the Marvel is like a big event that cannot, it's a canon event. So I think without that canon event of his love for Siskel and Ebert, I don't know if he would be on FilmSack. I feel like that's like, I'm serious. I feel like,
hear what Randy says. What do you say?
Yeah, because I feel like my path into movie fandom is really about other people that weren't critics, just individuals that I happened to know who also really liked movies and took me along for the ride and then got me kind of, like I say, there's this weird time in my life for like 8 years where I'm going to the movies every weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not something that a critic can talk you into. I don't think, I really do think though, that if you're, you know, in a relationship with somebody who wants to go to the movies all the time, or if it's something that your friend group does or what have you. And again, that's stage three of these four stages, and they act like critics. And so like, it's understandable, right? Mm-hmm. That you might not trust this random person that's named Gene Siskel, right? It's understandable. Like you might go, well, he doesn't know me. He's not my buddy who's always right. My buddy gets it right every week, you know?
Yeah.
So like, it's understandable.
I think there's an extra stage in there that is a very special case scenario. And for me, it was in the 90s. We had a standing date, so to speak, with a couple of friends of ours where every Friday night we would go to the movies. We'd go out to dinner, Cherry Creek Mall. We'd get dinner there because it was close to where we all lived. And then we would go to the it wasn't AMC. What was the theater in the, I think it was United Artists Films in the, in Cherry Creek Mall. And we would usually see one of the two or three films that was brand new that week. And sometimes we'd base that on critic reviews, but it would just be usually like, oh no, we've been waiting for this one, or this is what we're interested in. There's this extra kind of level of we're going to see a movie regardless of what the critics are saying. We're going to see one of these three movies.
Yes.
Which one's it
going to
be?
We're going to the going to a movie is the event.
Yes.
It's not necessarily, I mean, that the movie is almost secondary.
That movie. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You're going for the experience. Now, Siskel and Ebert, for me, this is back before, you know, we could just head over to YouTube and watch a bunch of trailers, which I do often. I like watching, I like being surprised by movies. I like, I don't really care about reviews. I like seeing a movie through opportunity. It just happens to line up. I watched Siskel and Ebert because they were showing movie clips from the movies, and I could really just give a crap less what they had to say about the performances or anything else. I was there for the clips. And I'm like, Oh, these new movies are coming out this week. What are they? Oh, that's so-and-so. And I want to see a little performance. And even if they dig into the performance and just, you know, tear it up, I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see The Terminator. I don't care what you say.
Sure.
There's something to that, right? That when you see the clips along with their review and they're saying, here, you know, here's a scene where so-and-so is doing this. And then they show the clip and it illustrates why they liked or didn't like the film. That adds a lot of credence to it because you're saying, oh, I see that. I like that too, or I don't like that either.
Right.
Whereas when you see the scores on Rotten Tomatoes, you don't know if they just had a crappy day or they just don't like Tom Cruise or something like that. You know,
you guys
felt like that lended credence to Siskel and Ebert. And
do you guys actually read the critics' reviews under these scores?
Sometimes
if I'm in one of those stages where I'm on the fence on whether or not I'm going to see it.
Right. I almost always hit the first couple of comments or reviews and I'm always like, holy shit, this person's a moron. Why am I even looking at these scores?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, how can I respect your score when you're saying stupid crap?
Well,
like,
and so look, so far the context of this has been entirely around new movies, right? So far, talked about. What I do is I'm like in the mood for a horror movie. So I will look up a list and go, top 10 horror movies of last year. And it turns out because we are living in a literal glut of content and entertainment now, that there's a ton you miss. You just miss stuff. It goes under the radar, especially indie things that weren't mainstream. So I'll find a list and it'll say, these were the best horror movies of the year. And it'll be some ranker list or whatever. And then I will take one or two that sound interesting from the synopsis. And then I will go to Rotten Tomatoes and I'll search on those and I will see, well, all right, what was the reception like? And often I will make my decision whether I'm going to bother watching it or not based on that. And if they're high enough, and high enough for me is like, I don't know, 60 or higher. That's enough for me to say, well, it's a horror movie. I like the genre anyway. I can stomach some bad ideas or whatever. And maybe I'll get lucky and get another Barbarian out of this. Or maybe it will be not as good. But either way, at least I've informed myself enough to not waste the time to go start the thing and find out that I hate it immediately. So I will use it that way.
You get 15 minutes in my house typically. If it's like you get, that's what I call it. I call it 15 minutes. That's better than a review for me. If you can't get me in the first 15 minutes, I'm out. I don't care.
How often does that happen to you? Does that happen to you a lot where you're out after 15?
Oh, yeah.
All the
time. Oh, really?
Wow. I'm out. See ya.
Oh, usually if I've started a movie, I finish it unless
you got that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There have been some in the past where, I mean, obviously Johnny Mnemonic in theaters, but at home, I'm trying to think if there was something that's like, oh, I started watching this. I don't know if I'm ever going to finish it. Kind of thing.
I can usually tell in the first 15 minutes from the language of what's going on. I'm pretty good at sniffing it out. I'm like, oh, this but is not going
like
anywhere.
The scenario Scott just described is firmly in stage four, right? Because he started with what was vetted for me.
Yeah, what already came out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, it's just fascinating to me how there are people out there who they can't do it that way. There's a lot of people out there. They actually want to watch a movie, but they don't want anyone telling them whether it's good or bad or even what's in it.
Yeah.
It's just this like,
I'm a little bit that, Randy. I mean, I'm a little bit that because I consider, so, you know, a movie can hinge based on your expectations. And sometimes I don't want any expectations at all. In some ways, it kind of spoils the movie because immediately I'm going in and all I can hear is, we'll just use Randy as an example. All I can hear is Randy going, oh, you know, the acting is subpar. And so the whole time I'm just watching, oh, this acting's subpar. Hut, get out of my head, Randy. That's not me. I don't know if there's some subpar or not. And so I'm like,
Well, but then that comes down to whether or not you have trusted sources. Like, if Ibbot told me, hey, there's this new drama on somewhere that you're going to really like, I believe him enough to then go for it.
Until I mention that it has subtitles, and then
well, then there's trouble. But you know that going in, right? And even yeah, if you right, say to exactly. me, even if you said to me, it wasn't really my thing, but you might like it, I also trust that. Or if he says you're not going to like it, I also trust that. I think there are, for some mm-hmm. people, there are reviewers out there, professional reviewers, who right. where that kind of trust is there, one-way trust mm-hmm. is there, and they've earned it for whatever yeah. reason, or they've always kind of matched up with your likes. Like, this right. was me with Ebert, like literal Ebert.
Was you Ebert? Were you Ebert? Okay, you was the Often Ebert, gotcha.
Most of the time, Ebert yeah. and I would see eye to eye on films, and I don't know why that is. Like, he adored Dark City at a time nobody would watch it. I loved Dark mm-hmm. City to death, mm-hmm. and I always felt like a weird... not connection, but I felt like if Ebert said yeah. a thing before he died, I would be like, oh, well, I'll probably like it then. I think that's why this stuff exists. People want to find those trusted sources.
Right.
And so then it's just a matter of, do you trust anyone or not? It sounds like Dunaway just doesn't trust anybody. And I'm not saying
well, that's not true. I trust people when they tell me positive things. Like, if you recommend a movie and you say good, 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 I will trust what you have to say. If you come at me telling me bad, don't go see it, I'm like, ooh, don't tell me bad, don't go see it. I feel like every movie I've ever seen, someone loved that movie. Someone worked really hard for that movie. Making movies is super hard. And sometimes I can find enjoyment in a movie just by something that maybe wasn't, you know, that not everybody's going to enjoy.
But
maybe
what if I told you something was awesome and then you went... And all I said was good, 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 like your scenario. But then you right. went there and did not like it.
Like, that's fine. Because, you know, I'm never going to criticize you for liking something. I may criticize you for telling me I can't like something. Like, it's the same as if I'm eating a Reuben sandwich and I think Reuben sandwich is awesome, you tell me it's shit. And I'm like, well, bump you, man. Shut up. Get out of here.
Well, yeah, but see, that's what I was trying to get to here is I don't think right. reviewers are, they're not telling you what to like. They're telling you what right. they liked, and whether you yeah. whether you agree with them or not is the issue. And so
right.
I understand that natural inclination to go, don't tell me what I don't like, but I don't think that's what they're doing. That's not really what they're supposed to be doing. But nobody likes to be told this, yeah. right? Like, there's some. I just had a conversation in Discord with somebody about the launch of Overwatch 2 on Steam and how Steam. It's just getting wrecked right. on Steam. And mm-hmm. I think it's possible to have a discussion about that without getting hyperbolic on either side of it and go, well,
right.
there are some reasons people are upset, but also should we allow a review system for players just to be trolls and dicks when really they're not saying anything about the game? They're just mad about
trolls and dicks.
It's like there's all this question about that. And me trying to explain to people that those negative reviews aren't, they're not about, hey, Scott, you should play this, or Scott, you should not play this. They're more right. about, if you get in the right mindset, you have to read them like, this is why they don't like it. And right. if I align with that person on a certain percentage of time, then it's a trustworthy interaction.
Yes. Right. And that is that you hit the nail on the head as to the one thing that I would love if Rotten Tomatoes had, if Letterboxd had, you know, one of these trusted review sites, to be able to say, like, all right, give me a list of 10 movies that were very what's the term when something is divisive. Give me 10 divisive movies and say, what did you think of these 10 movies? Now I'm going to match you up with five reviewers that felt the same way you did about those movies.
And you can look
through their, you could look through their reviews and say, oh yeah, I really connected. The thing I liked about this movie was this, and he brought that up. Or the thing I hated about this movie was this, and she brought that up. And then be able to say, great, Rotten Tomatoes, give me a third metric. You've got your critic score, your audience score, and then your trusted score, your trusted source score.
Ooh, and, see, I like that. I like trusted then, source score.
Yeah. And then give me like another metric that I can say, oh, all right, Last Voyage of the Demeter, these people, you know, the audience score's crap or the critic score's crap, but these trusted sources that like the things that I like also liked it. I'm going to give it a shot. I think that's a good that would be a great feature, and whichever website comes up with that soonest is the one I'm going to use. But I feel like between the four of us asking us what would make do you have any interest in seeing Last Voyage of the Demeter, using this as kind of like a case study, and saying if you didn't have any interest in this, what would it be that would take what would it take to make you give you some interest in seeing it?
Right.
Hearing from one of the four of us saying, oh, dude, I saw Last Voyage of the Demeter yesterday. It was fantastic. You need to see it. Because that would be it for me, hearing one of the three of you say it.
Well, and these kind of like algorithmic methods on social media and other things to silo people off into like-minded groups, I can see why that's a negative when it comes to social media or something. It's like, well, here's an echo chamber where everyone agrees with me, and that's not necessarily healthy. I understand that. But in this case, that's not a negative. What you're literally doing is saying, here's a movie or TV show or whatever that you and people like you will probably like. And if that's a good system and mostly accurate, I'd use the living shit out of that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Sorry, everybody, to bust in, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back and talk some more. I just ate the most amazing Factor meal yesterday. I can't believe that in 2 minutes I ate as well as I ate. I got the pork chop. It had this amazing sauce in it. Had these incredible portions of broccoli and onions. And oh, I was dying. It was so good. Dying in a good way, of course. Look, it's busy. We got a fall season coming up, right? Summer's ending. Fall around the corner. You might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Well, that's where Factor comes in. That's where it came in for me yesterday. America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. And it can help you fuel up fast. Get your body ready for the day. Chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals. And they're delivered straight to your door. So you save time, you eat well, and you stay on track with the healthy lifestyle you've been trying so hard to have. All right? So this August, and almost September, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Just choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals. You know, delivered straight to your door. Ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/filmsack50 and use the code filmsack50 to get 50% off. I understand you might be too busy with your end of summer goals to cook, right? Got a lot to cram in before the weather turns. But you want to make sure you're eating well during all of that. Well, with Factor, you can skip the extra trip to the grocery store, the chopping, the prepping, the cleaning up to, and really just focus on getting the flavor and natural quality and nutritional quality that you want and need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, like I mentioned before. Get back to crushing your goals. Don't spend so much time in the kitchen, you know? And if you're looking for calorie conscious options ahead of the busy season, try delicious dietitian approved calorie smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. That's pretty dang good. Head to factormeals.com/filmsack50 and use the code filmsack50 to get 50% off. That's code filmsack50 at factormeals.com/filmsack50 to get 50% off. I love them, as will you. All right, we're back in... I think we were talking about let's pick it right up where we were.
Yeah, for sure.
And the reason that professional critics are so much more valuable than the masses is that as soon as you go and democratize opinion, someone's going to find a way to spend money and skew it.
Always.
And so like that's what you're seeing with like Yelp, for instance. Yeah. It's great. I'm glad that we have randos out there telling me if they had a bad experience at a restaurant. That is useful, but it's not that useful. It's not that great because Yelp is in the background taking money from, you know, like a mafia taking money from restaurants to promote things and to bury things.
Right.
And I know that. And so, you know, democracy is great. Capitalism,
unless it can be
manipulation, not great.
Right. Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I just feel like this is going to almost have to come from some independent source because the truth is they probably, and I haven't thought of it, but there's some reason they don't want you to only see what you want to see. Because when you have too much control, then they can't feed you what they want to feed you. Right. Like, it's not conspiratorial to say that because
you do need someone who doesn't have a financial skin in the game and basically says, well, you know, here are these five people that matched up with what you feel about this, these other, you know, these divisive movies, but also this sponsor is also paying for this. So we're adding them as a sixth source.
Yeah. I mean, had Rotten Tomatoes not been bought out by NBC Universal and Fandango and all that,
right,
this may be something they would have, when it was independent and indie, they could have added. And I don't know who that is now. Maybe it's just all too big now for anyone to break into this, but you see things like, you know, Just Watch is obviously a thing about, well, where is it and when can I watch it? But they could easily start doing cool stuff like this if they wanted.
Sure.
Sure. Right.
And I would use them even more than I do already.
A friend of mine turned me on to Letterboxd. Don't ask like me thing. A friend of mine turned me on. A friend of mine turned me on to Letterboxd. And it's almost this, right? I mean, it's basically a social media movie.
Yeah, you're journaling. Yeah, you're journaling the things you're watching,
right? And saying, right, "Oh, keeping a list of the things that you want to see, looking at what the people you follow, usually friends, watched and how they feel about it." So it's close. It's almost this.
Yeah.
It's a little ad heavy. Better use a browser that blocks things because it's it's a mess.
Right. It just seems like an opportunity, and maybe it's not a money making one, and therefore that's why it won't happen in today's, you know, internet marketplace. But I would love it. Like, maybe we do it. Maybe we get Bombats or some of our smart programmer people in the community.
Oh, smart programmer people.
We get behind this business. Yeah,
it's filmsack.com is where you go for your...
Yeah, yeah. This is all really just an ad for our new upcoming service.
Yeah, check it out. Coming soon to the internet near you, everyone.
Yeah.
The overall here for me is that if you look at what's possible with reviews today, the option is you either look at them or you don't. You either, like back when we were kids, if it had cool shit in it, we just went, right? We didn't care.
Yeah.
So if it was about time travel,
we had no idea what we're about to see.
No, I didn't. I'm trying to think if I was a teen and I bothered with reviews at all.
Oh, like, I didn't.
I don't think I ever even
looked.
I
said, I used it for just as teasers for things I was kind of wanting to be aware of, because I was always interested in new movies. I just didn't.
Well, and back then you get your trailers from seeing other movies, right?
Yeah, that's right. You would go to a movie and you'd watch trailers all up front.
Or a TV spot during a Super Bowl or something.
Yeah.
But we didn't have this ability to sit down and look at the top 20 new trailers that came out on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And it's an embarrassment of riches, right? We just have this insane amount of access to these things now. Go ahead, Randy.
We're talking about when you watch a lot of movies or when you care about a lot of movies. For people who don't, stages one and two are fine. They're plenty. Critics may as well not exist. Mm. If you only watch four new movies a year or something, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you're all you need to know is that it's Spielberg and Tom Hanks. That's all you care. Uh-huh. Like, it's uh-huh. that's it. Somebody's taking you to see this movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, There's almost a problem when you watch too many movies. Like, there's this thing where people love to just crap on critics and say, you know, well, I don't listen to critics. I don't want to have anything to do with critics because critics have watched too many movies.
Yeah. They've lost their ability to be in wonder, those kinds of things. That's usually what you hear. Yeah.
Yeah, and there are definitely examples of critics who, like, for some reason were really, really moved by Lars von Trier or something and were absolutely bored to death of popular things. Mm-hmm. And, like, sure. So, like, you can say, I'm not going to listen to that person. I'm not going to trust that person. Yeah. But on the other end of the spectrum, like, really popular things are popular for a reason. Right. Mm-hmm.
They found something that tapped in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's not a bad thing. It's, you know, it's not wrong of you to like what everybody else's likes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that was always my problem with a lot of the critics, and continues to be a problem, is I like to watch films that kind of maybe are exploring things that, because it's really, because that's one of the complaints, like you said, is like, those critics have watched too many movies. And so they kind of get into this idea of they want everything to be formula with just maybe a 10% change in the film. That's what makes a good film. So follow formula 90%, then 10% do something different. And that seems kind of predictable to me. I like to see movies that maybe are totally, you know, maybe off the cuff. You know, it's just some weird thing. And so I don't know. I don't know.
But keep in mind, like, I don't know. If we kind of do this, right? Every week we look at a movie. It's not new movies, but we're watching old stuff. We're watching good stuff, bad stuff, everything in between. And I don't think that experience has made us jaded about films.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're critics, though. We're not looking for things necessarily to criticize or not criticize. We're more like, I've always felt the experience of this film sack for myself has been like what I used to do when I would go to the movies with my friends. When we would leave, we would sit out in the car and have a discussion. We weren't necessarily critical. Yeah. We were just continuing the conversation of what we just saw. So I don't really see us criticizing necessarily. There may be criticisms, but it's not to necessarily have somebody go see a movie or not see a movie. It's more like, this is what experience we had.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying is the reviewers I tend to land on, because I think you just kind of said it without knowing you said it, and it helped define what I've been trying to say, which is I want reviewers and sources, whether that be websites or whatever, that are like that, we all love movies. And if you were in a car with me, Roger Ebert, we would probably talk about it this way or whatever.
right.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm seeking out. And in a time where, you know, we have all these possible tools, the fact that is not a tool for us to utilize is kind of a crime. It's weird.
Right.
I don't know why it's not more of a thing. I just did this thing while we were talking where I went and found the 100 Club. It's Rotten Tomatoes, all the 100 scores. Just curious, you know, what they are. And it's things like, you know, Toy Story 2, the documentary Man on a Wire, Philadelphia Story, some old stuff, new stuff. It's kind of all over the place.
That's cool.
But one of them is one I'd never heard of called Leave No Trace, which came out in 2018, starring Ben Foster and a bunch of other people. And I'm a Ben Foster diehard. He's one of those guys I'll see no matter what the frick he does.
Yeah.
And I never heard of this. And so what did I do? I go look and see where it's streaming. Okay, cool. I can get it on Stars or, you know, half a dozen other services, or I can rent it. And now I'm like super jazzed to see this. Well, what did that's the direction these things help me now more than they do about new releases. I'm way more, this is more of a, it's almost a separate discussion, but we have become a society where everything's so on demand that I'm way less interested in what's coming out next week as I am.
Right.
What did I miss in 2018 when I wasn't looking? And then I can discover it now and go, oh, awesome. And then come on TMS, do a recommendal, or maybe it's film sackable or whatever. Like, my approach has changed because it used to be a little risk
and hitting a movie on Netflix. Right. I mean, you don't have to really do any research on it. I mean, you can see the Netflix score right there and you can just start it up and watch.
Well, they don't do scores anymore though. They just give you a percentage of what they think you're going to like. Right. So they've got their own kind of little algorithm, but it's very Netflix focused. But even in that case, I'll say, well, it is in the top 10 this week. That probably means it's popular, which means it's probably good. Like, I'm still making those choices based on these indicators.
See, they even took the score off. Don't even notice.
That's they did. Do you remember when they used to, it was like five-star system and they took it off. I don't know why they got rid of it. Well, probably, you know what? I do know why. Because negative scores drive people away and they won't watch.
Yeah, and probably the people who were, driving people away means only certain amounts of content. Probably the people they were, you know, having movies on their service for are probably mad. Hey, you got to just get rid of that. Mm-hmm. People are noticing our shit as shit.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to have people watch it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because I think it was useful. At the time. But then again, like Randy said, you know, user reviews, the democratization of reviews can be real balmy and real, and, you know, as well.
It can be just easily captured by people with money.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. Like, on paper,
I'm not listening.
It's like the original idea of like comments and forums and, you know, interacting social media. Even the dream was, oh, we can all of us are, you know, we all have a voice. It's a bit. Yeah. And then you realize, oh, shit, we all have a voice.
Right, you
know? Right, exactly. Yeah,
we don't want everyone.
Like, everybody's got a megaphone, but we need to take some of them away. So,
my most final thought on this topic is: I always give a thought to the people after we do an episode of FilmSack. There's always someone who comes along and says something about their feelings about the movie, and it's totally the opposite of everybody else.
Right.
Right. So like after Mystery Men, someone posted in the Discord that it's like their most hated movie or, you know, there's just examples of that. And I always want to give a thought to that, because it's important for us to remember that democratization is still a really good thing. Right. Like you should have ways to find out in advance if you're about to waste your time, or if you're about to just like be made to feel bad. Right. Like you should definitely have ways to attain that. And I don't want you, if you just hated Mystery Men and we all were kind of celebrating it, I don't want you to feel bad. Right. Like, you should feel how you feel. And that's a perfectly good thing. You know, we're talking about art. We're not talking about your, I don't know, your relationship with your government or something. Like it's not that important in any given movie.
Right. No, I agree with that. Well, that's our takes. I'd be curious what you think at home. As usual, we get tons of great feedback on these. People really like these roundtables.
Yeah.
We're really glad to hear that. So if you have a take or a thought on reviews and how they affect you or the business in general or any of that stuff, we would love to hear from you. Filmsack@gmail.com. Or as always, you can text us at 801-471-0462. I think that's going to do it for us today. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I give it a 10.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.